Hello, this is Eileen, and I will be reading the Decatur Herald and Review for Thursday, September 21st, 2017. Beginning with the front page, gunfire erupts at school. Wounded boy stable after attack. In Mattoon, a student opened fire in the Mattoon High School cafeteria and wounded a fellow student before being subdued by a teacher Wednesday in what authorities describe as morning of chaos and quick thinking that avoided a bigger tragedy. We are saddened that this incident has happened, and we will provide counseling to our students in need, said School District Superintendent Larry Lilly during a press conference Wednesday with Mattoon Police Chief Jeff Branson. Officials emphasized that they believe the shooter, who is not being named, acted alone. Lilly said a male student fired multiple shots in the lunchroom about 11:30 a.m. He said a teacher was nearby and she subdued the shooter, who was then disarmed by a police department's on-site school resource officer. The superintendent said he had visited with the wounded student at a local hospital and can say, with the permission of his father, that he is in stable condition and in good spirits. He added that the victim's father wants to pass along his prayers to the family of the shooter. The superintendent said emergency responders were quick in taking the wounded student to the hospital, taking the student into custody, and securing the school. He said high school students were bused to Riddle Elementary School for pickup by their families, adding that the district accounted for all of the students soon after the shooting. He added that I would ask that you would keep everyone involved in this tragic situation in your thoughts and prayers, the police chief said. The investigation is ongoing, but investigators are confident that only one suspect was involved in the shooting. Coles County State's Attorney Brian Bauer said during the press conference that charges against the student will be pursued in juvenile court. He declined to release the name of the student due to the juvenile court and school district privacy requirements. Officials also have declined to release the name of the wounded student and the teacher who subdued the shooter. Governor Bruce Rauner, in a Twitter message Wednesday night, said he and his wife, Diana Rauner, are deeply saddened by the shooting that took place today at Mattoon High School. Our prayers are with those who are affected. 8 or 9 shots, witness. Gavin Wallace, 14, was sitting in the hallway at Mattoon High School for art class when he heard 8 or 9 loud bangs ring out. So I looked down the hallway to see what was going on, and I saw a whole bunch of people just start running. So I took off running, Gavin said. Gavin and numerous other students bolted out the back doors of the building toward the baseball and football fields. Simply put, Gavin was scared, he said. Destiny Garza, 15, said she was terrified. She was in the school library at the time of the shooting. Everybody just started rushing out, and they said, hurry up and get out, Destiny said. The shooting sent many streaming out of the school, and students with cell phones quickly called parents. One of these parents was Sky Arthur, who said her 16-year-old son, Brayton Davis, had his knuckles busted open during the incident, but he is physically fine otherwise. She said her son believed he may have been grazed. I think he is traumatized by everything that happened. Saw him shooting the gun, but he said he doesn't know who he is, Arthur said. Overall, Brayton is okay. He's probably like everybody else at the school, in shock and scared. Brayton and some of his friends ran out of the cafeteria and out of the school into the neighbor's yard. Then he called his mother to tell her what happened, Arthur said. He got trampled while running out of the school and lost his shoes, Arthur said. Arthur said she noticed dozens of students walking in front of her house, which is near the high school, and she asked a teacher what they were doing. She said the teacher said all students were reporting to nearby Riddle Elementary School to be accounted for and picked up by their families. So Arthur called Brayton back and told him and his friends they needed to go to the elementary school so they could be counted and people would know that they were safe. Arthur said she is still in shock. I've been a mess all day. I never would have thought anything like this would have happened here, Arthur said. I thought he would be safe at school. They have security doors and everything, Arthur said. Brayton is scared and upset. She said her son wanted to lay down and relax and was not ready to talk about what had happened yet. I can't imagine how he is doing. I can't imagine how any of the kids are doing right now. And you see it on TV and don't think it's going to happen to your own kid, Arthur said. Brayton walked to school and walked home and never thought any of this would happen. Early dismissal today. Marion Avenue resident Catherine Bennett said she was at home when she heard from her adult son, who was waiting outside doing lawn work, that there had been a shooting at a nearby school. I have nieces and nephews at that school, and I just panicked, Bennett said. Looking outside, she saw police officers and parents everywhere, Bennett said. She jumped down the street. She walked down the street to an impromptu gathering point for students, and she spoke to a couple of them who had witnessed the shooting in the cafeteria. She later found out that her nieces and nephews, along with their classmates, were taken by school district buses to Riddle Elementary School to wait for their families to pick them up. Police officers were on scene at the high school throughout the afternoon as investigators pursued their work at this site. Earlier in the day, during the response to the shooting, a Coles County Sheriff's Office vehicle was involved in an accident on Marshall Avenue north of the high school. Shirley Davis, who lives at Marion and 26th Street, said her grown daughter heard that emergency responders were rushing to the shooting scene and called to warn her to lock my doors and stay inside. Davis said she later looked outside and saw many parents trying to get to the scene. She said her heart went out to those parents. You are desperate to find out if your child is okay, and you can't get to them to find out what is going on, Davis said. They were parking anywhere they could park and running in that direction. Mattoon High School is scheduled to dismiss early at 12:09 today, Thursday. All of the district's other schools will maintain regular hours. Lily said parents who wish to keep their students home Thursday will receive an excused absence for their children. He said counselors, clergy, and police officers will be available to meet with students and staff. Police officers are scheduled to have a stepped-up presence at Mattoon schools. Branson thanked the more than 100 officers from various local and state agencies that were dispatched to the school and helped secure the scene. He commended the high school staff for evacuating students from the school and for barricading them in place as needed. And he commended the teacher for her life-saving role in subduing the shooter. If the teacher had not responded as quickly as she had, I think this situation would have been a lot different, Branson said. And the next article, related to the first article on the front page, panic chaos gives way to call for peace in Mattoon. As the sun set on a dark day for Mattoon High School on Wednesday, a crowd gathered to hear messages of faith and of how there's light in the bleakest times. The prayer vigil took place in the field just west of Mattoon High School, where some police officers could still be seen around in the front of the building, more than 7 hours after the initial shooting incident in the school's cafeteria. Among the speakers were the Reverend Brad Brown, who serves as the Mattoon Police Department chaplain. He thanked the MHS students who attended and told them, "You guys are not alone." He wasn't alone in thanking God that the incident during which an MHS student shot and wounded another student, according to police, wasn't worse. "He will calm our scorn," Brown said. "We will move on and we will be stronger for it." Cheryl Cox, whose son Andrew is an MHS junior, organized Wednesday's vigil because she said her first instinct when something happened is to pray. "They definitely need to be together," Cox said of the high school students. "Everybody's got the same emotions." She said her heart stopped when at the time of the shooting, she received a text message from her son that said only, "Mom." He was in class at the time and soon sent word out that he was okay. It was a common experience in the Mattoon community, as the day was filled with panic among parents and students. Erica Miller was in Mattoon High School's halls at about 11:30 a.m. Wednesday when she heard an intercom announcement that the school was on lockdown and that the students needed to get out of the building. "At first, I thought it was just a drill, but then everyone started freaking out and everything was crazy. I did not know where to go. It was scary. Everyone just took off running everywhere," Erica said earlier in the day. She had several of her classmates end up running to a nearby cornfield. Their flight from the school occurred after one student reportedly shot and wounded another student in the cafeteria. Erica's mother, Heidi Miller, was working in Shelbyville at the time and was unaware of the incident until she received a text message from her daughter saying, "I'm okay." Miller said she quickly called to find out why her daughter was okay, and then she kind of flew home from Shelbyville. "As a parent, it's one of your worst nightmares. You hope it never actually happens," Miller said, adding that she was determined to see her daughter as soon as possible. "As a parent, you really have to physically see them to put your mind at ease. You are a mess. You are sick to your stomach." Senior Evan True said he was on a field trip to Lakeland College when his girlfriend called him just after 11:30 a.m. "She was crying," True said. She said there had been 5 shots fired in the cafeteria and they had all been told to go outside. True said he believed the shooting suspect had been bullied in school. "We can't tolerate bullying. Everyone has their differences, but we've all got to figure out a way to get along," True said. On Wednesday, the vigil's crowd reached at least 200 people, a mix of adults and teenagers, and with some Mattoon city and school officials among them. Cox's husband, Dave Cox, a Mattoon city commissioner, also told the crowd that the shooting won't be a force of division. "As strong a community as Mattoon is, we're going to come together," he said. "We're not going to let today define us." Fellow Commissioner Rick Hall, a former Mattoon school board member, was one of the speakers who thanked MHS teachers, including the one who reportedly subdued the shooter. Hall praised the teachers and emergency responders for doing a great job, which drew applause from the crowd. The Reverend Josh Butler had the MHS students at the vigil come to the front of the crowd and join hands as he spoke and prayed. There are a great many things that happen in our community today," he said. Butler called for prayer for the shooting victim and the MHS teachers, but also for the shooter as well. "Please heal that heart," he said during his prayer. The Reverend Travis Spencer joined others in praising Wednesday's emergency response agencies as those who ran in to help as our kids were running out to be safe. During their comments, the speakers stood on what's known as the Traveling Cross, which Mattoon residents Greg and Lisa Patterson built and attached to a cart to use mostly as a receptacle for charity efforts. Greg Patterson said they've made the cross available at other vigils and they brought it to Wednesdays to hopefully spread God's word. The next article, Lincoln Manor's closure leaves residents scrambling. Employees, families given short notice as moving process begins. Indicator. Lincoln Manor Healthcare Indicator is closing as soon as all the residents leave, but the official word is that they were given 48 hours from Tuesday to relocate. About 60 residents live at the 140-bed nursing home and were alerted Tuesday afternoon that the facility would be closing and they would be moving, said Shirley Powell, a certified nursing assistant at the facility. The owner of the facility is Vi Finer, who stopped paying the bills for Lincoln Manor, which Powell said facility administrator Paula Mason told the employees at a meeting Wednesday. This led to Lincoln Manor shutting its doors. Mason was unavailable to comment. Attempts to contact the owner were also unsuccessful. Powell said the facility has worked to make sure that the residents has a place to go and won't stop until everyone is settled. It's kind of chaotic, she said. They are going to new places, and it is terrifying. We are trying to comfort them and tell them that it's going to be okay. All pay to employees ended Tuesday, said Teresa Perry, the receptionist at Lincoln Manor Healthcare. She said employees came in Wednesday anyway to ensure the residents were safe and healthy until they could be transported to a new care facility. There were vans and representatives present from all over the area, including Mattoon, Sullivan, Moequa, Clinton, and Jacksonville, as well as the other nursing homes in Decatur. I came in and they told us, "We are here to volunteer," Perry said of the employees. "We are here to help the residents get moved out, transitioned, trying to do it as calmly as possible." Staff members said they won't leave until every resident has a new place to stay. "This process is moving right along, so I can't stay who will be here tonight," Perry said. "It is hard to know exactly what is going on because there is no such movement and activity," she said. Perry said the place is in an uproar. While the details are still up in the air about when specifically the nursing home will close, there is one indicator. "All I know, as soon as the residents are out, that is when the doors will close," she said. Powell said some nursing facilities handed out applications to the staff who will be looking for new jobs. "You came to work expecting to work, but we are getting told we won't have a job anymore because the facility is closing," she said. The employees of Lincoln Manor said they called all the appropriate family members to explain the situation for each and every resident. But Mary C.J. Anthony, whose brothers live at the facility, said Lincoln Manor never called her. Peoria-based Peterson Healthcare called her Wednesday morning and asked if she knew her brother was being relocated. They were at Lincoln Manor evaluating him. She didn't know. "There was such confusion, fear, and I just, oh my God, and the people that have no one to speak for them. Where are they going?" she said. When she arrived at the facility, after the phone call, the place was in utter chaos. "You wouldn't have thought a part of that building exploded. You would have thought a part of that place exploded the way they were taking people out of there," she said. Anthony just recently got her brother back into the area. "It took her 10 years to find him a place to live in Decatur. And to see my brother, and that confused, with tears in his eyes, running down his face, I am so angry right now," she said. Now, Anthony must wait for Peterson Healthcare to replace her brother and if they don't, then the job falls on her. If they don't, then I am going to have to reach out. I don't know where to reach out to, she said. They haven't given us enough time to do anything, and now everything is so full. But she said she will find a new place for him to stay. I may not be his power of attorney, but damn it, I'm his sister, she said. And my little part right now is just waiting on this phone call and this anxiety. She said she does have one situation she is trying to avoid for her brother. The worst thing, I don't want him to be the last person waiting in that nursing home, waiting for somewhere to go, she said. Can you imagine that? But somebody will be. Vicky Kincaid was pushing a wheelchair full of her mother's belongings out to her car. Her mother was moving from the Lincoln Manor facility after living there just over a week. This morning she was kind of upset, and I thought we would have more time to get her out, she said. But I came in this morning, and all her stuff is packed up. She visited her mother Tuesday, and the staff didn't say anything to her then. Some residents are upset about this. This is their home, she said. It's one big mess. I don't know. I guess we'll manage. As a CNA who cared for the residents, Perry said it is a shock to everyone involved, especially the residents who must move to a new home. They will have to get used to a new place with new people, new rules. Connie and Carl Sinkler said the process of moving their grandma has been crazy. Dolores' kid thought she was being moved because she did something wrong. I had to tell her she didn't do anything wrong. It isn't her fault. They do as they were supposed to do, Carl said. It wasn't like they said you have 30 or 60 days. They said you have 24 hours. Kid and another resident, Nancy Haggerty, will stay together as they move to their new nursing home, which is good because they are friends and Haggerty looks out for Kid, Connie Sinkler said. Haggerty said she didn't find out she would be moving until Wednesday morning, and by Wednesday afternoon, she was on her way. It's sad. I've been here a year, and you get to really love it a lot, and people in here, other residents and nurses, she said. I'm hoping where I'm deciding to go will be as comfortable a place as this was. Nurses came and hugged Haggerty goodbye as she sat in her wheelchair in the lobby waiting for a transport van to pick her and Kid up. The nurses said they loved her and said she loved them too. The next article, new restaurant to open at airport, Red Barn Kitchen to feature farm-to-table comfort food, Indicator. 3 months after the main hangar restaurant closed its doors at Decatur Airport, the Decatur Park District has found a new tenant to open at that location. During the Park District Board's regular meeting on Wednesday, the board finalized an agreement with Red Barn Culinary Concepts, LLC, to reopen the restaurant as Red Barn Kitchen. Red Barn Kitchen owner and chef Dagan Stocks told the board that he was excited to start his new venture, Indicator. There is no timetable on when the new restaurant will open, but Stocks said that he hopes to be in business before the holiday season. I want to be open as soon as possible, but I'm not going to rush, and I don't want to open on a whim, Stocks said. I want to do it the right way, and I want to make sure we're ready to serve every guest that comes through. The airport's restaurant area has been vacant since June, when main hangar owner Chris Cooper said his family decided not to renew their lease with the Park District after 9 years operating at the airport. Bob Brilli II, president of the Park District's Board of Commissioners, said the board received 4 proposals for potential businesses to replace the main hangar. He said the board is looking forward to working with Stocks and is confident that his restaurant will be a success. "I'm not a chef, but I think that he's going to do a heck of a job," Brilli said. Stocks described Red Barn Kitchen as a farm-to-table operation specializing in serving comfort food such as fried chicken and meatloaf. He said that he plans to purchase food from local farms and menu items will be prepared simply and sold at a moderate price. "It makes me scratch my head when I go out to certain restaurants in town this time of year and I'll get a greenhouse tomato from California," Stock said. "Why am I eating clear, see-through, terrible tomatoes when we have these awesome ones right here in this community?" Born and raised in Mount Zion, Stock said that opening his own restaurant has been a dream of his since he was young. After graduating from the Decatur program at the Decatur Area Technical Academy, he attended culinary schools in Denver and Miami. Since then, Stock said that he's worked for some of the most well-regarded chefs in the world, such as three-star Michelin chef Jean-Georges Vongerichten. Ultimately, Stock said his goal was always to return home to Central Illinois and bring the recipes and experiences that he's been exposed to throughout his life to the area. "It's something that I feel people will be very responsive to and can be excited about and can be proud of a restaurant like that in our community," Stock said. And a quick note, Decatur schools are releasing early today. Due to the high temperatures in the forecast, Decatur Public Schools will dismiss their students early today, according to the district's Facebook. Students will be released from school after 3 hours of instruction, the district said, and all schools will be followed the same dismissal times and bus stop times that they use during half days of school. The district said students who ride the bus will be dropped off at their normal bus stops. Afternoon pre-K programs and elementary athletic activities are canceled, the district said. Parents are asked to contact their children's schools regarding middle and high school athletics. Special education students without a latchkey agreement and pre-K special education students without an adult present will be released to the Harris Elementary School at 620 East Garfield Ave, the district said. The National Weather Forecast in Lincoln said that today's highs and Friday and Saturday will reach the 90s with mostly cloudy skies. Okay, that's all I have for the first half of the Decatur Herald and Review. This has been Eileen. I'm taking a brief break, and then I will be right back with the next part. See you in a bit.